Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast, your Arizona Wildcats football basketball podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. GH, where are you right now anyway?
I'm sitting on the side of the road in Junction City, Oregon.
Junction City? Is that a logging town somewhere between Corvallis and Eugene?
Halfway between, and it was the residence of Greg Byrne when he worked at Oregon State.
Really? Really?
His wife is from Junction City, so he commuted to Corvallis from here, and his wife worked in Eugene.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, I think I can one-up you, Greg, because it's what, like 38 degrees where you are right now?
And windy.
I'm sitting here in the newsroom at the Daily Star. I've got a baseball game on my computer because it's the first day of spring training. And Tom Wilhelmson, the pride of Tucson High, is on the mound. So there we go.
And the Pods?
Pods. Padres, Mariners. So I can justify this as work when in reality I'm just watching a baseball game on my computer. Let's get down to business here, Greg. Obviously the big news late Thursday night is that Alonzo Trier has been suspended indefinitely after trace elements of Ostarine, which is the same drug that he tested positive for, 16 months ago, were found in his system. He didn't play. Arizona didn't look very good. Sean Miller didn't want to talk about it. Is this bottom? Where do we go from here?
I don't think the bottom will be hit for a while. I think when the FBI releases its findings, although now Arizona seems to be one of many.
Right.
That will be the bottom, won't it?
Yeah, probably. But you look in terms of their sort of short-term success here.
They can't
get to where they want to go without Alonzo Trier. And who's to say if Alonzo Trier can return?
You couldn't have put it any better than that. Where they want to go, they have to have Trier, you know, driving number two man.
Absolutely. It's what makes him so invaluable to them, do you think?
I think it's because this year he has ceased his ball hogging and has become a part of the offense. And, you know, in the last 8 minutes of close games, that's when he's probably as reliable as anyone in the Pac-12 at getting points.
Okay. And you just, I mean, to me, we've talked about him forever. He reminds me so much of Jared Bayless when Jared Bayless was here. I mean, even when nothing else was going right, Jared Bayless could drive to the basket, get fouled, and hit his free throws. I mean, to me, that's what Alonzo Trier brings, and that's something that not a lot of players in the league and on Arizona's team have, is that ability to sort of create even when nothing seems to be working out. Certainly Arizona can still make a run in the NCAA tournament without him, but it seems to me like this is going to be a tough road all of a sudden for a team that on paper should be pretty good.
Oh, well, you know, last night they beat Oregon State because Raleigh Hawkins turned into Alonzo Trier in the last 7 minutes. And he shot 12 free throws.
Wow.
He averages, I looked it up, 2.5 free throws.
Wow.
So, I mean, somebody had to beat Trier, and it was him, but that was against a lesser opponent.
Sure.
Do it at Oregon? I mean, Oregon's got 8 pretty good players.
Sure, and if you look at Raleigh Hawkins, I mean, his foot injury and recovery from that, I'm not sure you can pencil him in as an every game contributor anyway. I mean, he could get sore, he could get tired. I mean, he's been so much of an up and down performer this year. I mean, I don't know if he's physically can step in and be the guy the last month of the season.
You know, when you only play 2 games a week, maybe he's got a chance more than almost any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
What did he play last night? 39 minutes?
Something like that, and,
he was at his best at the end, which was kind of surprising because he had shot poorly.
Yeah.
He was 2 for 9. And then out of nowhere, he makes 2 threes that had to go in.
Sure. Well, in Arizona, I mean, they were down two with like 12 seconds left. I mean, this was a game that, I mean, had they lost last night combined with the career stuff, I think that the conversation today would be, is it all over? And the fact that they were able to rally, I think, delays us having to have that conversation for at least a couple of days.
I mean, I don't think they'll beat Oregon. I think that's going to be – I don't think any team in the league is going to win there tomorrow night other than the Ducks.
Okay.
On senior night. And plus, you know, they're reaching their best part of the season. But, you know, Arizona will go home next week and most likely sweep Stanford and Cal.
Mm-hmm.
They'll win the championship. They'll cut down the nets. People will be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then reality will set in depending on Trier's availability.
Right. They'll go to Viejas Arena as a 4 seed. They'll probably win – win against a what, 12 or 13 in the first round.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you're looking at a matchup in the second round who, depending on who Arizona draws, could either be really good news or really bad news.
It'd be a team like UCLA, probably better though.
Yeah. Greg, I know that in the media we sometimes read way too much into coaches and players after games and what their interactions with us mean about how they're feeling. But Sean Miller, I thought, showed a side of himself last night that you guys don't regularly see. What was post-game like with him?
Well, you use the word regularly. I've never seen that from Sean Miller. He is almost always accommodating and expansive, even after a tough loss.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell a lot of times he doesn't like the questions or doesn't want to be there, but yet he'll still work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night it was, get out of my way, get out of my face, I'm out of here.
Wow.
I mean, was that strictly because of Trier? We'll never know because Sean's so private. You're never going to find out what ticked him off.
Right. He's not going to open his next media availability by saying, hey, guys, sorry about what happened the other night. You don't really see a whole lot of that, do you?
No. Number one, he's not going to say, hey, guys, anybody.
Well, I mean, to me, too, you know, I was thinking about this all last night, Greg. Is it possible that he was just ticked off because the team didn't play very well? I mean, with or without Alonzo Trier, there was an ugly performance last night until overtime, wasn't it?
I don't think it was the performance because even when they've had survived bad performances in the past, you know, he was, you could tell the relief was there, but last night, it was just, this is my interpretation, maybe it's not right, anger. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're, I mean, not to climb into Sean Miller's head too much, because I think that's probably unfair to him. But, I mean, his response probably to all the adversity they'd faced since the FBI investigation was, well, just win now and things will take care of themselves, right? If Arizona could win a national championship or make a Final Four this year, Sean Miller can have a big, whatever it is, middle finger to those who question him and his program.
Mm-hmm.
Without Alonzo Trier, this is not a team that can, I think, cut down a net in March. And all of a sudden, Sean Miller's great defense, which was, look at us, we won, kind of goes away. And then you wonder, without making too big of a deal out of it here, then you wonder sort of what this means long term for him at Arizona and for Arizona's basketball program.
It makes you wonder if there is a long term for him at Arizona, because I don't know if you agree with this. I don't think Arizona will be able to recruit at the top 20 level much longer, maybe not even now, until all of this is decided.
Right.
And how long is that going to be? How many recruiting classes can you not, you know, work to excellence anymore?
Well, and here's what I want to know. I mean, Arizona has two players committed for 2018. Both of those guys have signed non-binding scholarship papers, meaning if they get a better offer, they'll just go somewhere else, right? Neither of those guys, Brandon Williams or Sharif O'Neal, are the kinds of guys you put on a billboard, at least as freshmen, right? I mean, this is not DeAndre Ayton, Larry Markkanen, Stanley Johnson, Aaron Gordon coming in here. They're going to have more than two openings on that roster next year. I mean, you're preparing for a life without, I don't know, 7, 8 guys next year, and they right now have only pursued two replacements. To me, what does that mean? I think a skeptic would look at it and say, Sean Miller doesn't care who's going to suit up for them next year, maybe because Sean Miller isn't sure if he'll be here next year. But that's all just pure speculation on my end.
That's word for word my speculation, too. And it makes the most sense. He's such a dogged recruiter, he would never get in this situation where he doesn't have all these guys coming in, or he's not in full pursuit of them at every waking moment.
Right.
And, I mean, the recruiting stuff isn't hidden anymore. It gets reported the day, you know, the recruiting takes place.
Sure.
And none of that's being reported.
Right, right. And that's what's interesting. And, you know, Sean Miller is the kind of guy, too. I mean, he has shown in the past that he can take – he can get a recruiting class together pretty quickly, right? I mean, he's sort of put the hay in the barn a couple of times at the last minute. But usually Arizona's been in pursuit of players for a long time up until that point. In terms of class of 2018 guys, you just don't see them linked to a whole lot of players now.
None. And my question is, what program could survive this investigation from a recruiting standpoint?
Right. Not many.
I mean, no. I mean, the kids are smart. They're not going to go to a place that has a chance to be on some kind of a extended probation.
Right, right. That's a good point. That's a good point. What is the best case scenario the next month of the season, Greg Hanson?
It'd be that Trier comes back and they get to the Elite Eight with a chance to win in the last 5 minutes.
What's the worst case scenario?
Trier doesn't come back and they lose in a round of 32 after getting bounced in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament.
What do you think's more likely of the two?
Man, that's so hard to say because you can't predict what the NCAA will do when it comes to some kind of, you know, PED issue.
Sure.
My guess would be Trier doesn't play a game.
Yeah. Well, that's a separate show, I think, talking about Osterine and Alonzo Trier's negative or positive test and all that other stuff. The fact is, the NCAA sort of showed a dose of humanity last year when they said, okay, we believe you when you say you didn't knowingly take this drug. So long as it's out of your system, we'll let you play, right?
And then the day after it was out of his system, he played.
He played. And he's been tested regularly, and it's been out of his system, and now it is back in his system. To me, it's a two-point question. Number one, is the deal that they had last year still valid, right? Is Alonzo Trier now just waiting to pee clean, such as it is? And if that's the case, he could be back in 5 days or 10 days or whatever. Or is this a completely separate deal? Is this a second positive test, such as it was?
Yes.
If this is a second positive test, I think it comes with a year suspension.
Yes. That's the policy,
And so, I mean, you wonder. And, I mean, I certainly don't think that the NCAA is going to sit there and go, well, it's just a trace amount. Go ahead and play. Because I think that – because, and obviously the slippery slope argument is a dumb one, but the NCAA is not going to allow somebody to play with trace amounts of performance-enhancing drugs in their bloodstream because what's keeping, say, a baseball player from bulking up during the off season, stopping his cycle January 1st, and then in March when he takes the drug test, maybe there's trace amounts of whatever he was taking in his system. It's a bad precedent to set, I think. I think the right thing to do would probably say, yes, you're right, it's just left over from last time. We've approached that. We've dealt with that. Go ahead and play. But I don't think the NCAA is going to do that.
Yeah, where's the common sense factor in this? Does the NCAA have common sense, or do they just go by the book?
Well, the NCAA has never had common sense. I mean, the fact that the NCAA allowed Trier to play last year after failing a drug test was the first amount of sort of flexibility I can remember them showing when it comes to eligibility issues.
It's one of the very few. You know, they're so reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
And what gets me is you don't know how this goes across the country. Mm-hmm. Say there's an 800-meter runner at Purdue who's not real good, but they found this in his system.
Mm-hmm.
Would they do the same thing with him?
Well, I don't know.
We'd never find out, but behind the scenes, is it the same?
Yeah, or would they just kill him? I mean, that's kind of my thought is, and this is a question that was brought up in the newsroom the other day, is has Alonzo Trier gotten more, has Arizona traded on its good name here, right? to sit there and say, you know, we're Arizona basketball. This guy's one of our best players. This is what he says. Or is Arizona being sort of unjustly thrown in the spotlight because the NCAA wants to make an example of them? I don't know.
Well, I mean, who would make that decision that we want to make an example of Arizona?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine with all that's going on in the NCAA that anybody down there gives two you-know-whats about the University of Arizona, frankly.
I know it. You know, what struck me, one thing I've read in the last 24 hours in the middle of all this chaos is that Ole Miss yesterday hired a deputy general counsel for athletics.
Right.
Isn't that the beginning? Now everybody's going to have a guy like that?
I would think so.
Something like this?
To deal with, well, how about this? I mean, since we've been talking, I mean, Dave Hickey sends out sort of a statement saying we need to do more when it comes to student welfare issues. I think that that's in response to a number of stories we've been putting out with regards to Title IX. Obviously, when we ask for comment, we get none. But, you know, there's a vague sort of response sent out by Dave Hickey today. At some point, his words are going to have to lead to actions. And what do they do there? I mean, do they sacrifice some of their upper management people for lack of oversight? Do they restructure what they do? I mean, I think he used the word restructure in his email.
Wow.
I mean, do they restructure the way they do things?
Absolutely.
I mean, even if not all of what we hear is 100% fact, right? I mean, even if these lawsuits are in some cases not 100% true, even if some of these police reports are not 100% true, so much has been proven to be absolutely true that you wonder if they should blow the whole thing up and start over.
But that would be so unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that? Who has done that? Penn State, maybe?
Maybe. And I don't think Arizona is Baylor yet.
No.
But if Baylor is how you judge failure, you're missing the point, too. Baylor is pretty much a disaster. I think Arizona is probably closer to Baylor than it wants to be. And I think the next step is, if you're Dave Hickey, you look around college athletics and you find the places that do work, right? Who does it well? I'll tell you one school that does it really well, believe it or not, is Oregon State, the place you were last night. And that all led from or stemmed from the gang rape of a female in Corvallis under Mike Riley. And they turned that into proactive Title IX enforcement. I wonder if they look to a place like an Oregon State as they try to sort of revamp the way the athletic department runs. Who knows?
Well, if they're not doing something to restructure their athletic department and how it responds to a student athlete's difficulties with other student athletes or teachers or coaches, then then that's really wrong.
I know. GH, one more thing before I let you go. I brought this up last night when you and I were talking post-game last night. If you're listing the 50 biggest news stories in your career at the Arizona Daily Star, from Arizona, U of A, how many of them happened in 2016, 17, or 18?
You're talking about not good news?
Scandals.
Stories?
Yes, scandals.
Well, most of them. Most of them happened in the last few years.
Right.
You know, Arizona was put on football probation for 3 years in the mid-'80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's up there. And then Jason Terry being vacating wins for taking $11,000 from an agent.
Right.
What else falls into that category? The deaths of a couple of players, obviously.
Obviously, sure.
But the last 2 years, we don't have any idea yet about the whole Rich Rod situation.
Right. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's been this cluster?
Wow. I'd answer that with a question. Did this go on in 1982 and 1992 and 2002 as well?
Right. And nobody said anything?
The sensitivities were less then?
That's possible.
And the just be a man and roll with it stuff, you know, prevailed in those days?
That's possible. It's possible. I think certainly times have changed and what is acceptable has changed. And I think that's an improvement. It's all changed for the better. But, man, it is what's that old saying? May you live in interesting times? These are interesting times. if you're following the University of Arizona.
And today's email message from Dave Hickey just proved that, that for them to put out a statement like that today, a broad-based statement about we're going to do better, reflects on everything that's happened in the last 2 years.
Absolutely. We will do the right thing always, he says.
Yeah.
We are grounded in strong principles, and we are aligned with our university values. While our student-athlete support and resources are well-respected within college athletics, we can do more to meet the ever-increasing challenges and demands on the 21st century student-athlete. That's interesting. That's very interesting, and we shall see where it goes from there. Greg Hansen, I will let you get to lunch or go get by a fire with a cup of coffee or something. It sounds, just even over the phone, Greg, it sounds cold and wet.
Oh, no, the wet is coming.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for checking in with us, GH. We will talk soon. That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. For Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.